We've got some breaking news this morning. A new secret Nazi dog whistle has just dropped. In recent years, the list of officially approved secret Nazi dog whistles has grown to include cartoon frogs, the OK gesture, and milk. And now a new one has dropped. And that new one is the time frame of 6 months.
Since FDR's time in office, the legislative metric in the United States has been 100 days. Not 6 months. This is a racist code whistle to every white supremacist in the country because it's how long it took Adolf Hitler to take Weimar Germany to a complete and total dictatorship. That included, by the way, the military swearing an oath of allegiance, not to the nation, but to the Führer. And the military was the institution amongst many in Germany that were the last holdouts to this. But once he was in power, they were the first to submit. And what Donald Trump is signaling to the officer corps of the American military, you get in line behind me, the leader, not the idea, not the Constitution, or I'm coming for you too. This is an epically dangerous moment.
Epically. Steve Schmidt hates the time frame of 6 months to a year, presumably because, as a member of the Lincoln Project, he prefers ages closer to 14 years, maybe 15 years. But whatever the case against 6 months to a year, it's difficult to see how this relates to the Nazis. It is not, I'm sorry to say, a particularly credible accusation, particularly because the same sort of people who accuse anyone to their right of being a Nazi for the flimsiest of reasons just a few days ago exalted an actual Nazi from the Waffen-SS because they thought it might help Ukraine or something. It is not consistent. It doesn't make any sense, of course, but it doesn't have to. Give these people 6 months to a year, and they will come up with an entirely new set of reasons to call you a Nazi and try to push you out of society. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Good Ranchers. Get great meat at a secure price and $25 off your order with code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles today. Britney Spears is dancing with knives. We will get to that very important story in just one moment. First, though, I cannot stop laughing about the Ukraine Nazi story. I can't with Trudeau and Zelensky and the whole MPs, and they're just applauding, and the guy apparently served with the Waffen-SS. Politico is trying to water this down. Politico has changed the story to Nazi-linked veteran received ovation during Zelensky's Canada visit. Not Nazi-linked. Nazi. He fought with the Nazis. It's not like his cousin's grandma's brother's friend had a pamphlet that was given to him by some Nazi guy. He fought with the Nazis doing Nazi things. And they say, no, he's just sort of Nazi-linked. You know, you are literally a Nazi for not transing your kids. But the literal Nazi is only Nazi-linked, according to Politico. It's actually slightly more complicated than this. Not in the way Politico is pretending, not in the way the libs are pretending, but it's more complicated because you have lots of conquered territories during the war. You've got lots of different groups who are making different sort of arrangements with political powers, some of which are happier than others. And so this unit that this guy was in was not totally bought into all of the Nazi stuff, and they were fighting exclusively against the Bolsheviks. But, you know, God, he's a literal Nazi, guys. Come on, man. Speaking of narratives, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now. I had a speech last night at Georgetown. You can catch that speech at the YAF YouTube channel. It was on whether or not Biden is a more evil ruler than Putin or Xi. Also on the political theology of Denoza Cortez, but largely about how Biden is a big jerk. So you can go watch that speech. And in D.C., just down the road from where I am, the Washington National Cathedral has replaced its stained glass with BLM-type propaganda. The cathedral has unveiled a set of four new stained glass windows just this past Saturday dedicated to the theme of racial justice. And those installations were to replace the previous windows, which depicted Stonewall Jackson, which depicted Robert E. Lee, which depicted some of the great figures of the South and of the reconciliation that took place after the Civil War. My first thought is Episcopalians are going to Episcopalian. You know, this is what they do. It's sad to say, listen, some of my very best friends are Episcopalian, okay? But there's that good old line, variously attributed to Dean Inge or Fulton Sheen, which is that if you wed the spirit of the age, you'll find yourself a widow in the next. And the Episcopalians, gotta love them, but they have particularly fallen into this trap. So now, an Episcopalian service, Episcopalian public life, is just a series of political fads. It's really not all that different from just watching a liberal newscast. And so it's no surprise that they would get rid of these stained glass windows and replace them with the new fashions of whatever the vision of racial justice is today. But don't forget, it's not like they were replacing stained glass windows of the evangelists. It's not like they were replacing stained glass windows of the saints. They were replacing stained glass windows of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Why? Why were those even the stained glass windows? Well, because after the Civil War, those windows were put up as a sign of coming back together. This war that almost ripped the country completely in half. It was a gracious gesture for the conquered people being in the South. And this is what's so strange about this new moment and this little symbol in the churches. The old windows honored the conquered South. The new windows honor the conquerors. And I don't mean racial conquerors, I mean ideological conquerors. The old windows, look, the North won the war, the Union won the war, and yet they paid a little bit of homage to the South. The new windows pay homage to progressivism, the progressive view of history. The past was really bad. The future is going to be really good. The present is always a crisis. White people bad, black people good, old people bad, young people good. The new windows honor the ideological conquerors because progressivism has conquered the country. That is the ideology that animates the whole country now. And so you would think if they wanted to keep this in line with the old windows, they would maybe pay some homage to the conservatives or to the normal people or to maybe Christians. Wouldn't that be nice in our national cathedral if they had the windows honoring saints and honoring evangelists and honoring figures from the Bible? But no, that's not how it works. The days of malice toward none and charity for all, the days of extending an olive branch to the conquered, that's over. That the progressives see no role for that. They see no role for grace because the progressives have sold out the religion that animated our entire civilization, Christianity, and they've replaced it with political stained glass windows. One thing that I really don't like when I'm on the road, I have a good time when I'm on the road. I like meeting the students. I like giving the speeches. I like the Q&A. One thing I don't like, though, is that I don't get to eat delicious Good Ranchers. Right now, go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles. This is the thing that I hate about being on the road. The one thing is I don't get to eat my delicious Good Ranchers because sweet little Elise has got it at home. I love Good Ranchers. It is the absolute best meat out there. It comes straight to your door. You can pick what you want, the beef or the pork or the chicken or the fish now. It's just so freaking good. It's 100% American. You also can get $500 in savings if you order right now. They'll also lock in your price for 2 years, which is completely insane. No other company guarantees you 100% American meat and a locked-in price. The quality is absolutely through the roof. Save right now. Eat the way that I eat. Good Ranchers has turned sweet little Elisa into a ribeye eater. It has completely changed my view on ground beef because it's the greatest burgers out there. This deal's not going to last forever. Go to goodranchers.com. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, for $25 off and free ground beef for 2 years. Lock in your price on America's best meat for 2 whole years. Goodranchers.com. Use code Knowles for over $500 in savings. Subscribe to Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Speaking of dubious narratives, there's a new crisis, guys. Democrats have an urgent campaign. They want to reinstate net neutrality. Do you remember net neutrality? It's been about 6 years now. I still don't really know what net neutrality is. All I was told in 2017, when Donald Trump was about to get rid of net neutrality, was that this was going to destroy the internet. We weren't going to be able to the internet as we knew it was going to be over. Not only that, people were going to die. This is what they told us. If some executive agency changed some slight rule about how the ISPs were regulated. And then what happened? They got rid of net neutrality and everything was fine. Actually, the only thing that changed was that internet speeds increased a little bit. But everything else, it was fine. Your bill didn't really change. Nothing changed. Well, anyway, the Democrats want to reinstate it. 27 Senate Democrats have written a letter to the chairman of the FCC, Jessica Rosen-Worsell, urging her to reinstate the Title II regulations on ISPs, known as net neutrality. They want to defend the free and open internet, which remain, the only thing that risks making the internet no longer free and open is when the Democrats come in and censor everything on the internet. Otherwise, it's pretty free and open, but the Democrats just want to be totally sure, and so they want to reinstate net neutrality. What we can learn from this is nothing about the internet. It's nothing really about regulation or ISPs. What we can learn from this is that the Democrats, the libs, never give up. They never give up, not even on the teensy tiniest, least significant things. They are always plowing ahead with their agenda. Conservatives, I'm sorry to say, we're not always like that. Sometimes we are. We've held the line on life, on the issue of abortion. Even after Roe v. Wade in 1973, the conservatives held firm. And we kept pushing. Then eventually we got to overrule the terrible decision in Roe v. Wade. That was great. But in a lot of issues, we just let it go. Oh, marriage. Yeah, that's over. We lost that one. Oh, the structure of the government, the way our constitutional order works. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We lost that one. It's no big deal. Oh, well, you know, ubiquitous porn on the internet. Yeah, there's nothing really we can do. Sorry. We lost that one. Oh, well, blah, blah, blah. The Democrats never think that way, and we should emulate them. We should notice that they just, if they take a loss, even if it's the end of the world catastrophic loss of net neutrality falling away, they just plow ahead. And 6 years later, they remember this stupid rule from the FCC. We need to do that too. You also need to remember to wear very, very fine undergarments, which is why you've got to check out Tommy John. Right now, go to TommyJohn.com/Knowles. It is fall. You know what that means. Cozy nights with the family. Thanks to our friends at Tommy John. Loungewear for a night in has never been better. Got the perfect blend of comfort and breathability. Their loungewear has a level of softness that you have never felt before. Their incredibly soft loungewear is designed to envelop you in a world of pure luxury. When you wear Tommy John, you are so much more comfortable that you can do everything better. Even their undergarments have dozens of comfort innovations. Breathability, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric. I may be wearing Tommy John's right now. I was at least wearing it recently and just thinking about how it is the absolute greatest undergarment that has ever been made. Right now, get 20% off your first order right now. TommyJohn.com/Knowles. That is 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Knowles. See site for details and feel as comfy and stylish as I do all the time. TommyJohn.com/Knowles. Speaking of Democrat senators, you know, Bob Menendez is in a lot of hot water right now. Bob Menendez was caught with money in his house, in his coat pockets, in every gold bars, luxury cars. The guy is crooked and they got him dead to rights. Some Democrats are calling on him to resign. Sherrod Brown of Ohio says Senator Menendez has broken the public trust and should resign from the U.S. Senate. He is the chairman of the Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. John Fetterman also called on him to resign, or at least some staff member of his did. And New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy called on him to resign. These are all Democrats. The alleged facts are so serious that they compromise the ability of Senator Menendez to effectively represent the people of our state. Therefore, I am calling for his immediate resignation. And even Menendez's fellow New Jersey Senator Cory Booker has called on him to resign. Cory Booker has said, I don't have his very meticulously written comment here, but the thrust of it was, I love Bob. He's a good guy. He's not the man that's being portrayed in the press is not the man that I know. And he's entitled to defense and he's entitled to the presumption of innocence, but he should resign. I think he should probably resign. And he did it fairly gracefully, but he gently suggested that Menendez resign. And people are making fun of Booker for this statement because he was so mealy-mouthed and so, everyone knows that Menendez is extremely corrupt. But I gotta say, I actually appreciate Booker's loyalty. I think loyalty is an important thing in politics. Booker might be trying to ride the fence a little bit here, but I still appreciate that he's not totally beaten up on the guy. Nevertheless, Menendez is not gonna resign. He's not going to resign. He's completely shameless. He was already brought up on these corruption charges. I guess he was really investigated by his colleagues on the corruption charges. The ethics committee seemed to think that Menendez did some pretty crooked stuff. You've heard these headlines for over a decade now. And he still sticks it out. And he still remained chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. And he still peddled U.S. influence shamelessly, even after he was investigated and chastised for it. So he's not going anywhere. The only way that Menendez is going to resign is if they offer not to prosecute him and maybe not to prosecute his wife. And frankly, he's probably going to try to keep his Senate retirement fund. I was talking to some friends here in Washington, D.C. That's how corrupt this town is. And I think they're right. I think they're probably right that that's what he's waiting for. He has nothing to lose. He's not worried about being shamed. He has no shame. So his only chip right now is he's holding onto this Senate seat. Every day that he holds onto the Senate seat, the more likely it is that a Republican will be able to win that seat in New Jersey. Don't forget, New Jersey is not just a completely locked, solid blue state. It's pretty blue, but Republicans win there with some frequency. The Chrisessons, Chris Christie was a Republican governor in New Jersey not that long ago. So it could happen. And Menendez, he doesn't care if some Republican succeeds him. He doesn't really believe in anything other than the almighty dollar. So he's going to stick this out until he gets guarantees that he's not going to spend the rest of his life in a prison cell. And then maybe he will resign. And speaking of playing the hand you're dealt, President Trump has just tried to blow the whistle on Pennsylvania rigging the election once again. Pennsylvania, which was the most brazen in rigging the election in 2020 because they violated their own state constitution by sending those mail-in ballots out to everybody unsolicited. Pennsylvania now is pushing automatic voter registration. And Trump says Pennsylvania is at it again. The radical left governor, Josh Shapiro, has just announced a switch to automatic voter registration, a disaster for the election of Republicans, including your favorite president, me. This is a totally unconstitutional act and must be met harshly by Republican leadership in Washington and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, and others are far more important than Ada, Sloppy Chris, Lion Mike Pence, Nikki Birdbrain Haley, Ron, parentheses, dead campaign, de sanctimonious, and others. All right. He's just reusing old nicknames. The Ada thing, I don't quite get unless it refers, I think that refers to Asa Hutchinson and maybe that Broadway musical. And then Sloppy Chris, he used Sloppy for Steve Bannon. Lion Mike Pence, he obviously used Lion for Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, L-Y-I-N apostrophe. Bird Brain, I guess, is a new one. Ron, dead campaign, de sanctimonious. Those are two nicknames there for the one guy. But anyway, so he's reusing them, not surprising. And then he says, start suing now, get the lawyers right this time. The Pennsylvania Republican Party must likewise not let this happen. It will be a disaster for our nation, which is being destroyed by these lunatics, Marxist fascists, whose only real ability is to cheat on the elections. Now, you might dislike Trump's rhetoric there, and you might say, look, the primary is not over yet. Things could change. They don't seem likely to change, but it's not totally over yet. Still, though, broadly speaking, I think Trump's point is correct. The point that we have got to focus on making sure that the libs don't rig the election again. We have got to focus on the nitty-gritty of the election rules, the way that Democrats are changing things such that they have an advantage and we have a disadvantage. That's got to be the focus, especially with the polls as they are, because the polls right now are saying Donald Trump is way up on Biden nationally. He's 9 points up on Biden nationally. And even in the key states, Donald Trump is doing very well against Biden. And Trump is very likely to be the the Republican nominee. So he's doing so well, Biden's doing so poorly. Okay, then how could Trump lose the election? He could lose the election, one, because things change in the course of a year, but two, because the surveys are not always indicative of what's going to happen when people are counting those ballots without any poll watchers and pipes bursting in the middle of the night, which is why we've got to focus on the rules. And it's very difficult for conservatives to focus on the rules here because conservatives need to figure out a way to make the politically viable case against automatic voter registration. It sounds like we hate democracy if we say, well, I don't want voters to be automatically registered. Why not? You don't want more people to vote. You want to suppress the vote. So it's very difficult to make the case. Now, I think the case is easy enough. Rather, I think the argument is easy enough. The argument being that if someone is not able or inclined to walk down the street and register to vote before an election, they probably shouldn't be voting because they're not responsible people and they're not paying close enough attention. I think that's simple enough, but it sounds kind of undemocratic. So how do we make that case? I think the way we make that case is just bluntly and honestly. And we appeal to people's greater civic responsibility than the civic responsibility of their peers. You got to talk to people and say, hey, look, there's a lot of people in this country who don't care about our form of government, and they don't care about politics, and they're not responsible citizens, and that's fine. They can go about their lives, but they shouldn't therefore weigh in. You, citizen that I'm talking to right now, at any stage in your life, in any part of the country, at any socioeconomic tier, you, if you're listening to this political message right now, you're the kind of person that I do want voting. And so to protect your right to vote, to protect your influence in the country, we need to make sure that people who would throw their vote away are not automatically encouraged to do it. Because when you're going to throw your vote away, when you don't know anything about politics and justice and our form of government, that is when you are most likely to vote for Democrats. Who doesn't love a good Columbus Day sale? I, for one, think that Columbus Day should be not only a national holiday, but an international holiday, one of the most important days of the year. Some folks don't even want to celebrate it, though. Well, at Jeremy's Razors, we want you to discover the new world of woke-free shaving. Get 20% off select Jeremy's Razors products and bundles, including the Precision 5 Starter Kit, the Founders Kit, the Beard Kit, the Skincare Bundle, and more. Be a pioneer for a better shave and better hygiene. Don't wait. Make the switch today. Get yours at jeremysrazors.com. Speaking of Trump and all of these polls, Trump right now is up 5 points over Biden nationally, according to a Messenger Harris poll. This is going to increase the pressure to get Joe Biden out of the race by the Democrats, because we sometimes think that the Democrats are so powerful. They control all of the institutions, the academy, the media, the administrative government, the big tech, the corporation. They control all of the institutions, increasingly the military. But they're not omnipotent. They're not God. I think they can still lose elections. They lost in 2016 when we were told that was going to be impossible. I think that can still happen. If their candidate is sufficiently bad and our candidate is sufficiently smart, I think we can win. So you're going to see that push, and you're also going to see the push to rig the vote, which is why we got to try to stop that. The liberals do not care about the rules. I don't know if you follow one of the great accounts on Twitter, Cat Turd. It's an amazing thing about American politics now that one of the more popular and insightful commentators is someone named Cat Turd. Cat Turd was just swatted. Swatting is when someone calls in a report to the police and says, you got to come and bring your guns and come in blazing because there's a problem at this address. And they put the address of someone else. And then the cops show up, you know, guns out, and it's a very dangerous situation. Here's what happened. This happened live on stream.
Cat's house has just been swatted. Someone called and pretended to be him and said that he had stabbed someone and had a gun and was going to kill himself. Cops are absolutely everywhere. They're all over Cat Turd Ranch. He is trying to defuse the situation as we speak. I just got this in from him, so no, he will not be rejoining the podcast. I'm sorry about that. But oh my gosh, keep him and the puppies in your prayers, because this is how the left operates. When you're over the target, they've done it to several other podcasters. I knew it wasn't if, it was when. Please keep him in your prayers. Yes, this just happened at the Cat Turd Ranch. I really expect this to happen to all of us. We're all going to be targets of this game that the left continues to play.
That's it. That's what happens. It's not the first time. I'm going on Tim Pool's show tonight. I hope they don't swat Tim. They've swatted Tim Pool too. What is swatting? Swatting is not just filing a false police report. Swatting is attempted murder. What you are doing is you're saying, hey, there's a dangerous situation. We want highly trained fighting forces to show up with guns blazing at this person's house because we don't like that person, because that person has political views that we disagree with. This is what they're willing to do. We know they're willing to do it. When I showed up to the University of Pittsburgh last semester, Antifa showed up and threw explosives at the building. Okay? They mean business. They don't just want to play around. This is attempted murder, and we need to change the law to reflect that. Because this has happened to a number of my friends. And the conservatives don't do it to the libs, nor should we. But the libs do it to the conservatives a lot. And this is attempted murder, and the libs who call this stuff in should be charged with attempted murder and should rot behind bars. What do we do now in this country? We take 74-year-old pro-life women who peaceably demonstrate in front of abortion clinics, and we throw them in prison for the rest of their lives. That's what Joe Biden is doing right now, and he's doing it to 8 pro-life advocates. Meanwhile, someone tries to kill a conservative commentator because they don't like what Cat Turd is saying about the 2024 election. That person could try to murder Cat Turd, and that person just goes off scot-free. The way to stop this kind of behavior is with a little bit of a heavier hand. The way to exercise that little bit of a heavier hand is to win elections and then wield political power effectively to defend the innocent people and to punish our enemies who are doing unjust things. And if we're not willing to do that, if all conservatives are willing to do is just dangle the carrot in front of people, conservatives are pretty good about incentives, especially economic incentives. So if all we're willing to do is dangle the carrot and we're not willing to wield the stick, then we're not going to get very far. We also need to punish our enemies when they are doing things that are unjust, when they're trying to murder us. Speaking of crime, Wisconsin has just forced women to share a prison cell, or a prison broadly, with an incestuous transvestite child rapist. This person is, his name is Mark Campbell. He began serving a 34-year sentence in 2007. It's a family show. I'm not even going to go into the details of his crime. It's as horrific a crime as you could possibly imagine. Then in 2013, this is 6 years later, he started to identify as a woman named Nicole, and he underwent hormone treatment. So it wasn't merely cynical to get out of the men's prison and go to the women's prison. Or if it was cynical, he really went all the way because he got the hormone treatment. He now wants the surgery treatment to lop off things that are very dear to most men. A lot of people are going to look at this and say, this is just cynical, criminal men who either want to go into the women's prison so that they can do weird sex stuff with them, or they want to go into the women's prison so they don't get murdered by the men in the men's prisons, and they know it's a little bit easier, and so they're going to pretend to have this sexual disorder where they think they're the opposite sex. I'm not convinced that he's pretending. I mean, he's pretending to be a woman, because men can't be women, but he might really suffer from this sexual disorder. He suffers from all the other ones. I wouldn't be surprised if he suffers from this one, too. He's an incestuous child rapist. He's probably, a few things have gone wrong in his view of sex and the human body. Nevertheless, though, this is very, very wrong. There's a line from Martin Luther King. I know everyone loves quoting Martin Luther King. I find it cliche sometimes, and I don't quote Martin Luther King quite a lot. But this time, I really like this quote, which is often spouted off by the libs, which is that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that is simply true. This is very important. Individualists don't really like this quote. Because you're saying, no. Justice is just a matter for an individual or between a couple of people, but it doesn't have to do with the broader community. But conservatives and leftists, oddly enough, do like this quote, because we recognize that man is not an island entire unto himself, but man is part of a political community. We're the social creature. And so if there is injustice anywhere, it's like a poisonous gas It's just, it spreads throughout the whole community. This is this is why all of leftism is just a perversion or even an inversion of Christianity. But Christianity makes this observation too. The understanding of the fall of man in Christianity is that Adam sins and then sin and death pervade the world. It doesn't just apply to Adam, doesn't just apply to Eve, doesn't just apply to their immediate family, doesn't even just apply to the human race. It pervades the entire cosmos because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. It just, everything goes wrong. This guy being in a women's prison is unjust for everyone. It's unjust for all the women. It's unjust for this pervert criminal who's now has the further degradation of mutilating himself and being mutilated by supposed physicians. It is unjust for the society because of the scandal that now people are led to believe that men can become women and women can become men. It's a threat to all of our liberty. This was the subject of my speech last night. Because liberty, contrary to what a lot of people think, is not merely a matter of choice, choosing between good and bad and true, false, and right and wrong. Liberty is a matter of willing. And willing is presupposes understanding. And so this seems a little bit abstract, but the reason that this is an important distinction is because if freedom were merely choice, then God would not be free. Because God cannot choose to sin, because God's very being precludes evil. This would be true for all of us. If we are virtuous people and we tamp down all of our vices, then we are less free to choose to do those vices. This is true for anyone who ever has any kind of habit. Think of it in the opposite direction. If you're a heroin addict, you've developed this habit of heroin, you are less free to stop shooting up heroin. Right? So you're obviously not a totally free man if you're a heroin addict, contrary to what the liberals say, because your will has been compromised. And your will is compromised in part because your intellect is compromised. So, God, obviously being free, is free because he wills perfectly and understands perfectly. He's the only being who is perfectly free and who wills and understands perfectly. We will be free only in as much as we align our wills and our intellects with God. This is the meaning of the phrase in the Bible, the truth will set you free. Scandal, intellectual darkness, lies pervading society, compromise all of our liberty because they stop us from willing good and true things. And the society crumbles. This is why you don't want to have a society that is ordered according to lies, because it screws things up for everybody. Which brings me to Britney Spears. Britney Spears is dancing around her home with knives, with big, sharp knives. And Britney, since her conservatorship has been lifted, Britney has posted a lot of odd videos, half naked or naked, dancing around on TikTok and doing things that don't seem particularly helpful to her. She's now denied this. So you can see the video playing around on TikTok. She's denied it though and said, I started playing in the kitchen with knives today. Don't worry, they're not real knives. Halloween is soon, with 3 exclamation marks every time. But I look at those knives. They look pretty real. They don't look like plastic knives or anything to me. Maybe they're fake. Maybe they're just really, really good fakes. But I don't know. Britney's exhibited a ton of crazy behavior in recent years, and I guess really for 15 years now. So I have to ask myself, was it really a good idea to free Britney? There was the Free Britney movement when she was under a conservatorship. And the Free Britney movement was based on this idea that Britney has the right to liberty. Which is true. We all want liberty. Liberty is a good thing. But the reason the Free Britney movement was wrong is because the Free Britney movement presupposed a definition of liberty based on choice, not based on perfect willing and understanding. So this is a very, very important distinction. If your will is compromised, if you're a degenerate addict or something, then you can't be granted this kind of political liberty. And we have programs in our justice system to limit your political liberty. Not even to limit your liberty, to recognize that your liberty is limited, and so they're going to constrain your field of operation in politics. if you are ignorant, if you're something is defective in your intellect, then your liberty is going to be limited. This is why we have conservatorships. This is why we have legal powers of attorney. This is why we have parental rights. It's because little kids aren't in control of their will and aren't particularly educated yet. And so they don't get to vote until the Democrats have their way and they lower the voting age to 5. They don't get to, drive a car. They don't get to participate in civic life. It seems like a little bit of an abstract issue. Well, my definition of liberty is this, and your definition of liberty is this. This is a crucial thing. Freedom, liberty, is a defining feature, perhaps the defining feature of human nature. But the left and the right in this country, and frankly, even there's a disagreement of this on the right, we disagree over what that means. And until we figure out what that means, if we continue to persist in this false liberty, which is nothing more than choice, the country is going to continue to degrade, and we're going to be a whole country of Britney Spearses. My favorite comment yesterday is from TASGB5PH, who says, "I'm a big lib, but this was a good show. Well done, Michael. You get it right sometimes." Thank you. I love that comment. I love that comment because I love it when libs tune into the show. I've had people write in. I actually met some people last night who said, "Michael, I was a huge lib, and then I started listening to the show, and now I'm a conservative." And that does my heart so good, because I don't want to just preach to the choir. There are some conservatives in politics and the media who just want to recite the talking points to the amen chorus among the already converted. But that's not what I want to do. I want to reach out to you libs, and I want to pull you over. So that's great. I'm glad you liked the video. Okay. Speaking of things that can kill you, beyond Britney's kitchen knives, the Wuhan Institute of Virology says that another coronavirus outbreak is highly likely. And they would know, wouldn't they? Study published by scientists at the Wuhan Institute in July, reportedly circulating widely on Chinese social media, has concluded that as many as 20 species of coronavirus are highly likely to cause an outbreak among humans. Right about on time. Yeah. Yeah, that's because you see the election is in about 13 months. So this is right about on time. This study appeared in Emerging Microbes and Infections in July, the South China Morning Post noted, but it began making headlines in Chinese language media as social media users discovered it and began spreading its conclusions online. What are they saying? They're saying, quote, this is according to the study, "It is almost certain that there will be future disease emergence and is highly likely a COVID coronavirus disease again. Thus, the early preparation for the animal COVIDs with risk of spillover is important for future disease preparedness regarding the likely animal origin of SARS, MERS, and COVID-19. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I didn't bring my tinfoil hat with me to Washington, D.C. You remember right before the outbreak of COVID, there was that big exercise with scientists and government officials and NGOs where they just did a test run of what it would look like if a coronavirus spread throughout the world and caused a mass pandemic and a shutdown of governments and economies, you know, and then it just happened almost immediately thereafter. It would seem reasonable to conclude from such an exercise that something was likely to happen. Well, I think that's what we're seeing here. They're telling us what's going to happen. And you can take the most extreme view of it and say they're planning it and they're intentionally going to release it and it's to shut down the election. Or you could just say, yeah, look, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is, just like all human institutions, is kind of weak and fallen. And when you're dealing with very dangerous things, sometimes they leak and it's a prediction rather than a promise. Either way, maybe you're somewhere in the middle between those two poles. Either way, I think COVID is going to happen again. Are the people willing to go along with it? I have friends of mine, conservative friends, who lived through 2020, 2021, 2022, who insist, oh, Michael, the people will never go along with COVID again. What are you talking about? No, Michael, they learned their lesson. You think they learned their lesson? No, they didn't. I have liberal friends who are wearing masks right now already. They're not even mandated yet. even after we were told the masks don't really work, even after we were told that the vaccines don't really work, even after we were told that the social distancing was completely arbitrary, they're already doing it again. People's memories are very, very short, and people just kind of follow the leader. That's why political power is so important, is we're not all just hyper-individualists who, you know, form all of our own conclusions and write long treatises about what we think about every aspect of society. If that were true, we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. People just basically follow the leader and the established powers. And the established powers over in China, and here in the United States, and the Faucis, and the NIHs, and the public health officials in New York, and Lionsgate in California, and the Morris Brown College in Atlanta, and Rutgers in New Jersey, they're all just starting to do COVID again. And people probably will just go along with it. Now, speaking of death, Rupert Murdoch has stepped down. I meant to get to this story last week. I'm glad that I can get to it right now. Rupert Murdoch is 92 years old. He's not dead. He's not dying, as far as I can tell. But the very fact that he gave up his media empire makes me think, you know, the man perhaps is not long for this world. Rupert Murdoch was chairman of the board of Fox Corporation and News Corporation. This guy is the most important media mogul of our entire time. He has been a rock star in shaping public opinion for 7 decades. One cannot overstate Rupert Murdoch's influence. His career began in 1952, okay, when he took over running the News, which was a small newspaper in South Australia that was owned by his father, and he's just taken over the entire News ever since. Now he's 92. He's leaving the company to his son, Lachlan Murdoch, and we'll see if they are able to maintain their dominance. I'm not convinced that they are. Actually, I think Fox has kind of slipped in recent years. Many of you think that too. A lot of people have tuned out, in part because Fox has moved to the left, in part because people are just cutting cable. The reason the Murdoch story matters is because the media landscape is changing dramatically. And media changes don't just happen gradually. They happen pretty suddenly. You've got the age of radio, then you got the age of TV. Doesn't mean that radio goes away, but it loses its primacy in terms of shaping public opinion. You got the age of TV, then you got the age of the internet. Then you've got the age of streaming internet. And as these things have shifted, and you've got the age of Twitter, which is where most people get their news now anyway. As these things have shifted, people just totally turn away. I appear on cable news with some frequency. I have never personally subscribed to cable. Ever. My parents had cable when I was a kid. Some friends have had cable. I have never in my whole life. And I'm on cable. And I don't do it. Young people just don't watch that stuff. And the reason that matters is not just because of how people are entertained, but because, especially in a democracy, the media shapes the whole political order. This is why it was so crucial that Elon Musk buy X, formerly known as Twitter. Whoever controls the media, whoever controls the language, is going to control politics. And Rupert Murdoch did a good job of giving conservatives a little bit of a shot to maybe fight against a total domination in the media by the libs, a little tiny sliver. But now we're in a totally new landscape, and the shifts in media are going to predict shifts in the political order. So what is it going to look like post-Rupert? We've got a 70-year run here. What happens now? The rest of the show continues now. You do not want to miss it. I am here in my hotel room in Washington, D.C. I will be chatting with you. If you want to join, you got to go to dailywire.com, use code Knowles for 2 months free on all annual plans.